years. They're not putting them in the shop and using them at reduced wages. There's quite a few abuses to this that the cut down in length of the student permit would prevent.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to respond to that. The board would have to approve that person to go into the shop, because that would be like under an apprentice program. If a person has completed 2,000 hours of schooling and they have failed their exam, as far as I'm concerned, they're not finished with their schooling yet. It should be mandatory that they stay in the school until they pass their test, or they either drop out. And if a shop hires a person that does not have a license, then that shop should be penalized for hiring somebody that is not licensed to work. And if they go in there and work under a student permit, then that shop has to be approved to have them as an apprentice.
Well, I certainly agree, in particular with the fact that they should remain in school until such time as they have graduated. I think this would give the added incentive to some of the people who are moving off a little bit to perhaps study and graduate. I don't think that some of them have put a lot of work into their program. The other problem that you are addressing here, of course, we go back to enforcement. A board member who is also working, it's almost impossible to check these individuals who fail the exam. The fact is that we don't know if they passed or failed for 2 or 3 weeks. We cannot follow them up. We don't know their names. When we do an examination, we only have numbers. We don't know their names. We cannot follow up on that student as a board member and find out if they're working unless we take off every day and go from one shop to another and look for them. I think that would really be asking a little bit too much of a board member. So we can, in most cases where this has happened, it has not been an approved apprentice program. The individual has simply gone to a shop and gone to work. Thank you.
I think, is there any objections to keeping it at 2 years? That would be consistent with the 2,000 hours and the 2-year requirement for apprenticeship.
Okay.
The next one is on page 8, section 18, after, it's on page, or line 24, after number 7, and it's a reference to practitioner manicure and pedicure that we included earlier. I think that's what we're discussing. Great. That's, and we already included that area under section 8. And Mr. Cooper, I noticed that you were in opposition to this one.
This deals with manicuring and pedicuring again. The only reason that we needed it included in statute is because the statute as it exists today specifically refuses the regulation of manicuring or pedicuring, since it is already taught in the school curriculum, and since provisions can be made with the National Testing Institute to provide the questions under the written portion of the exam. We did not feel that we needed to create a new curriculum or anything else. All we needed is the statute authority to regulate the manicuring. This is a problem that has primarily come up because of the new acrylic nail situation. I've had quite a few calls from individuals who've told me horrendous stories about finding people with fungus on their hands, from people who don't know what they're doing, and apparently it's a real sanitation condition as opposed to one of training, the actual training of the application of the acrylic nail itself. I think the problem is sanitation here.
That's relating to fees, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't deal with the curriculum. That says examination and investigation. Would you have to have an examination anyway for pedicure and manicure?
Do you have to have a license?
Yeah,
that question, Mr. Chairman.
I guess.
Since manicuring and pedicuring is already taught in the textbook, all we would have to do is through regulation test on the application of acrylic nail. All we needed was the authority to do so. I don't think that we want to create, create a separate category of licensure, because the majority of states, manicuring is a part of part of the cosmetology course. It should not be a separate category of licensure.
Ms. Ward?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I support manicuring and pedicuring to be separate licensing because there are several people that do just manicuring and pedicuring. And what they're saying now is it's taught in the cosmetology curriculum, but you have to have 2,000 hours. And if somebody's just going to do manicure and pedicure, they don't want 2,000 hours. So that's why we want a separate category of perhaps 250 hours for manicure and pedicure. And then that would include special training to cover acrylic nails.
Thank you. I think there's about 5 or 6 places in the present statute where we would need the wordage manicuring and pedicuring to be inserted under powers and duties of the board. We simply need to have the authority to examine on the subject under qualification of applicants. Again, in the statute, the authority to qualify the person to actually take a test, I believe through regulation, we can institute a course of study if we have the statute authority to do so.
Ms. Strickler?
Mr. Chairman, I might point out that on page 5 under section 11, on lines 28 and on to the next page on 6, that would allow the board to establish a limited license regulating manicure and pedicure.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that the board has attempted to stay away from, again, on the advice of many, and I believe the Department of Occupational Medicine, is to create a category of licensure. At the present time, there's some dissatisfaction with the fact that it's broken down, cosmetology and aesthetics are broken down into categories.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is that the majority of states, all three of these, are headed under one title, and that is cosmetology. We can. I have certainly no objection at all to creating a category of licensure, and I'm sure that the rest of the board does not. I question whether it will, if we're really going to have that great need.
Okay.
Put together with the medical board when we create the
on the top,
medical board of college.
On the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6, would that cover the manicure and pedicure? I mean, it says any limitation could be stated on the license. That would also be reflective of the requirement, so that it wouldn't be necessary to put it in the other section. I mean, we could leave it under.
Mr. Chairman? It would be necessary to have it put under that section under fees because there would be a separate fee required for manicure, pedicure licensing, as Representative Pierce had pointed out.
Mr. Chairman, there would also be a need under the qualification determination of definition where it would have to be inserted.
Well, we can have the drafters take care of any language problems.
Excuse me.
Okay, the next is on section 22, page 10, line 14. Didn't we have another section that dealt with definitions?
We changed this already once. Right now it reads, aesthetics means the use of hands, appliances, cosmetic preparations, antiseptics, lotions, and massaging, cleansing, stimulating, or on the head and neck of a client, including skincare and makeup.
Okay. Would that take care of the temporary removal?
Temporary removal.
Okay,
hair.
Hair.
Yeah.
The waxing.
And would that take care of it? The change we had where we put head and neck in?
Yeah. she only removed the hair on the face.
Oh, you know.
Okay, well, we need to include that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think that should be included after scalp, face, and neck, the temporary removal of superfluous hair, including skincare and makeup for cosmetic purposes for a fee. I think the temporary removal of the hair should be included in that because it is necessary to have training, and currently under cosmetology, we have to be trained in that, so it would need to be under cosmetology as well, but in aesthetics, they do deal with temporary hair removal, and I think it's necessary to have it in there because there can be some problems in waxing if a person isn't knowledgeable on how to do it.
Mr. Cougar.
Mr. Chairman, currently we do a test on the subject of the removal of superfluous hair. Primarily, we're talking about the eyebrows. I'm a little bit concerned here that how far do we go when we talk about the temporary removal of superfluous hair? Does that include electrolysis? This has been brought up by our members or practitioners in the field. And that's something that I don't think the board wants to get into at all. With electrolysis, I believe we have felt should remain with dermatologists.
Is that included in the training?
There is no, as far as I know, no training. There certainly is not any testing done on the usage of anything other than hot or cold wax removal of eyebrow hair, other than actually tweezing.
Maybe. I'm wondering if we need to define that in statute or whether we could just put this in the bill and then have you further limit it to maybe the wax technique or whatever in regulation.
Thank you, sir. I think that it should simply state that this would be excluding the usage of any type of electrolysis or electrical means of removal of hair. I have some information in front of me here that the Department of Occupational Licensing forwarded to me that indicates that there's quite a lot of danger in the usage of some of the electric tweezers in particular that are now out, and we have there is no coverage of this, no enforcement, no license apparently covers it. I don't think that the training in the cosmetology or aesthetic course would cover this and qualify an individual for the usage of anything electrical.
Okay, well, we can put something in there that would take care of that. Do you have any problem with electrolysis?
Well, electrolysis is generally a separate license,
okay.
You know, a medically approved certification in Arizona and California. That's...
Seems to me like if they were going to do the electrolysis, they'd have to have a license.
At the present time, Mr. Chairman, there's nothing in the state of Alaska that covers electrolysis that I know of unless it's under the medical field or dermatology.
Okay, well, I guess maybe we could put some language in there that would exclude electrolysis.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, a temporary removal is just that, temporary. Electrolysis is a permanent hair removal.
True.
Yeah, where the hair is, the hair follicle is gradually killed.
Mr. Chairman, I have some paperwork here in front of me that was forwarded to me. It comes originally from the International Guild of Professional Electrolysis and the American Electrolysis Association. Apparently there is a gadget on the market now, which is an electronic tweezer. They are stating that anyone can use this, and in fact, there are a couple of these places operating here in Fairbanks at the present time. Some of the warnings contained in here would indicate that this thing can heat up the lens of the eye and help to cause cataracts.
we have approved it.
Okay, well, under a definition of electrolysis, would those electric tweezers be included? Because if we put in language that would exclude electrolysis, and those tweezers aren't covered as electrolysis, we wouldn't be doing any good.
Sir, as indicated in here, they are being included under electrolysis, electrolysis, but in fact are not doing what the actual insertion of the needle, which is what electrolysis is. They are not doing that. In fact, what we're saying here is it's a little bit of a scam.
Is electrolysis defined as permanent removal?
Right.
Well, then those, if the purposes were for permanent removal, then it wouldn't be allowed.
That's correct, sir.
Yeah, why are we talking about it?
Put it in.
So we include temporary removal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to line 15, the exemption for those who demonstrate makeup. Do they do that for a fee or for a wage?
No, just to sell makeup. No, salespersons do. You earn money.
Yeah.
So would we need to have that in there is what I'm wondering.
I don't think so. They're paid by the company, but not by the client or the customer.
Mm-hmm. Let's delete that section. Okay, line 23. Are we putting in aesthetics instead of manicure and pedicure?
To add it to it, perhaps there was some confusion on my part when I was reading the bill, but I understood that the cosmetology training included the aesthetics portion also. So correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Cooper, but if someone who's trained as a cosmetologist, they do not only work on the beard and the hair and manicures and pedicures, but it's aesthetics also.
It's a separate section now, right?
Yeah, it's not the same.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I got part of that transmission, but only part.
Okay, well, we were wondering about the aesthetics being included under cosmetology. Then there would be no necessity for you having aesthetics separately, so.
I think that the people in the field agree with this wholeheartedly. However, there are also very many who wanted a separate license, and the entire statute written in 1980 addressed that fact, and that did create a separate section, a category of licensure. In actuality, aesthetics is part of the cosmetology training. If an individual goes through the entire course, they have the option of getting at present time two licenses, one presently referred to as hairdressing, the other one is cosmetology. We're changing hairdressing to cosmetology and cosmetology to aesthetics. It's really all one course. However, there are quite a few people who want to get just the aesthetics license. And I think we're back here now to the same argument that we had with manicuring and pedicuring. Originally, all three of these classifications with only one license.
Representative Pierce.
Mr. Chairman, the way I read this under definition, we should leave aesthetics, I believe we should put aesthetics in as something that can be performed by a cosmetologist, because we're not taking that ability away from somebody with a degree in cosmetology. We're just creating a lesser degree called aesthetics that they can get without also getting all the hair parts. That's correct?
Yes.
Okay, then we'll add that in. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Chairman, at the present time, if an individual goes through the school and graduates and takes the examination, the terminology on their license states the area of practice which they may practice. Cosmetology and aesthetics are on the same
Is that for the cosmetologist, right?
Right. Then there is a separate category of licensure for just aesthetics.
Mr. Cooper, may I ask you a question? Can
So we're gonna adopt it.
Is on there?
Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
Oh, I can ask you a question. If somebody goes through and gets a license in cosmetology, and they have to have 2,000 hours of work, the way I read this bill, that if they also want to do aesthetics, they have to add on another 350 hours.
No, I don't believe that's correct. The original 2,000 hours covered both cosmetology and aesthetics. In the statute, it indicates 350 hours of training for just aesthetics. At the time the person graduates, they have the option of taking the examination on both the hairdressing portion and the skincare makeup, or either one. They do not necessarily have to take both. We do have in the present statute a provision for just aesthetics, and that's 350 hours. This 350 hours is included in on the 2,000 hours of the cosmetologist.
So the reference to it should be in statute, is that correct? Or is it not necessary?
I believe on that same page 10, sir, up at about line 11, we do address the issue of aesthetics.
Right, but under the cosmetology definition, it doesn't include aesthetics. And if that's part of cosmetology, then maybe it should be included. It has everything else in there.
Right. Perhaps I am in error here in that I assumed incorrectly that most everyone who does go through the required 2,000 hours automatically also become estheticians.
Okay, well, we'll add it in there just so we're sure.
We'll change state to D, huh?
Yeah. Roger, are you taking notes on all this so you get to...
Yes, yes.
I'm
trying.
Because I am, but mine are pretty helter-skelter. Okay, line 24, that just incorporates that in. Okay, page 11, line 1 through 4.
I think we left the shampoo person.
Did we decide somewhere else to leave in a shampoo person?
I think we left the shampoo person.
So here, page 7, line 14 and 15, we left shampoo person. This is different.
Page 7, line what?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on page 7, line 15, we left shampoo person in.
So we need to include the definition, right? Okay, so we'll include that. And then add the grandfather clause. We already we're gonna do that too.
I don't,
Mr. Chairman, does anyone have a copy of the current Alaskan statutes on barbering and hairdressing? I question whether the grandfather clause needs to be addressed on page 10 of what we refer to as a pink book.
What was that reference?
On page 10 of the pink book, section 08.13.160. And it would appear that this already addresses the continuation.
I went through this and I didn't see it the first time, so that's why I've been looking. It's here. It's here. That's why I've been looking on the cruise. I thought it was missing. No, you're correct. I think. But
it's a, well, it says barbering. It doesn't say cosmetology or hairdressing.
Well, we'll include the proper language changes when we draft the committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman, would that include, like, I hate to do this, people with people that are currently practicing manicure and pedicure in the state have not had to be licensed. Is there some way that if these people are grandfathered, that they can have, that they should take a test by the board?
The language says until the license expires, they can only practice until their license expires. If they don't have a license, they're required to get licensed under the new bill.
Does that mean, though, that they would have to go get additional hourly requirements as stated in the new statute? See, that's, the person is already practicing, they have the experience, and there should be an exemption for them to take a board-approved examination upon new licensing, not necessarily have to go to school for XX number of hours because they've been doing it.
Just right. Like the provisional license.
Mr. Kuber, would you agree with that?
I'm under the interpretation that these statutes indicate that a person is entitled to another license after the present one expires.
Are we talking about people who aren't licensed?
Yeah, we're talking about people who aren't.
We're talking about people, though, sir, who are not presently licensed, and we're suddenly cranking in a licensing procedure.
Yeah, I'm sure that that would be a small problem and it does need to be addressed. However, I would like to point out that what we have here in the state of Alaska, manicuring was taken out of statute in 1980, and if we are going to reinsert it now here, we are covering only a four-year period of time. I think the real problem that we have here with manicuring and pedicuring is that individuals who already have knowledge of the basics, which they may well indeed have obtained through the regular cosmetology course, are not familiar only with the new procedures of acrylic nails. And in aggressive manicuring and pedicuring, we're covering everything.
Representative Hanley.
I think I had made a note here too, Mr. Chairman, that when we did add the words practitioner of manicure and pedicure, that we probably need to include that definition. Is that correct? That perhaps would it be appropriate that that would be number 8 on page 10? We've got practitioner as number 7, means a person's license to practice, and maybe the most appropriate place then for practitioner of manicure and pedicure would be number 8.
I don't know what the definition is,
but that's what drafting's for.
Thank you.
Roger wants to talk.
Well, it's just the representative family. I don't think that would be an appropriate place to put us in with the definitions, but if it's just a matter of substantively adding to the current statute, we can find the right place and put it.
Well, we have added it, but I thought
we needed it.
We've added
it. Including manicure, pedicure?
We've added
it. We'll figure out where to put it in.
Under
definition sections, I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, well,
place.
We don't need it to put it in.
It'd be a whole separate section in the bill, and we'd have to renumber all of the...
We'll leave that to the drafters.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on line 27 of page 10, it says practitioner means a person licensed to practice barbering, cosmetology, aesthetics, and then that should have manicure, pedicure there.
Okay, and also I'll instruct the staff to work with the drafters so that we have some language in there that would take care of that grandfather problem. I don't know how. That's why I'm reading it to you.
When we originally heard this bill, we talked about the fact that it would be appropriate to have a requirement for credits for, or something for continuing education. And I had made that note, but I didn't note that we have any provision for continuing education. I don't know what would be appropriate, that a person would have to attend something once a year, or I would like to hear your response on that, Mr. Kuber.
Thank you, yes. We have talked about the problem of continued education for many more years, and I would like to admit to, in attending some of the national conferences, I did go to a lady by the name of Myrtle Macy from the state of Florida, and they have a very, very strong continued education bill. I asked her what her opinion of the continued education process one of the things that Ms. AC in Florida indicated was that there was quite lucrative business being done down there by individuals who became qualified to give continued education and checked it off for a fee. Again, we would run into an awful big enforcement problem.
It's not competition, you have a right down to it. If a person doesn't keep up.
They've been working on this for quite some time, and Ms. AC indicated that she would like to take it out of section.
Okay, we'll allow that discretion to the board. How would that be?
Thank you, sir.
With that, are there any other changes or suggestions? If not, we'll accept a motion to adopt a committee substitute. Representative Davis?
So moved. So moved, Mr. Chairman. I'll adopt the committee substitute with the changes we made this evening.
Okay. Are there any objections?
I would like to, once we get this all put together, to perhaps we can send a copy up to Mr. Kubler so that he could review it too and just take a look at it in its final form. I don't know when you plan on getting that all together, but that should be relatively easy to telecopy him copy up for the LIO office.
Okay, my intention was to move it out of committee, but we could hold it until we get a copy of the. Of course, we should wait till Wednesday.
But I don't have any problems with moving out of committee, but there's a lot of technical changes here, and I'm not trying to slow the process up, but I think it's important that something doesn't fall out of the cracks out of all the changes that we took on this tonight.
I agree, and also, I don't want to hold this up because we're running out of time very quickly, and also, I'm sure that the Chairman of Finance is not going to want to hash over anything that we haven't included in our deliberations, so we'd probably better send them the right thing. Otherwise, it's not going to get addressed there. So we'll hold it over until Wednesday so we can check it, and we'll send a copy. Maybe we better hold it till Thursday.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you'll entertain the motion, let's just move it out of committee, or move to pass it, and just don't turn it in until Wednesday, and then that'll give us one day to take a look at it. Is that
okay?
That's a good idea. Okay, motion is to move it out with individual recommendations pending our approval.
Whatever that means.
any objections? Okay, so moved. Thank you, Mr. Cooper. We'll telecopy the bill in its entirety once we have a new draft up to you in Fairbanks. And we'll let you know when you can pick it up there at the LIO office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all committee members.
You're welcome, and if there are no objections, I'll announce for the record that House Bill 12 will be taken up on Friday, and with that, the meeting is adjourned. Time is
8:35.
Did you fully really understand what this
intended to
say, which was
Mr. Chairman,
established
I don't know
what
electric tweets.
So.
Yeah,
I understood finally what she was doing. I thought she was trying to put the grandfather clause in that section. That's where I got lost.
Hey, Mike, you
got to
sign this
soon.
Based on the changes we did.
Yeah, appreciate all the work that, you know, everybody, it was good that everybody could sit down and work together.